Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Konnichiwa, and welcome to another episode of The Nerd Off, episode 10, actually. The official nerd podcast of the Black Altus Premium Network. As always, I'm not by myself. I'm joined by several nerds and one undercover nerd. Let's first start with the undercover nerd. She's back in the house. Karen, what's going on?
How y'all doing? I'm not undercover. I'm not a nerd.
Right.
You totally sound undercover.
Yeah. That's what I expect you to say, narc.
Oh, Lord.
We also have a man who, you know, had to take a couple weeks off, but he said, look, it's a Saturday. It's too hot to go anywhere. I ain't got shit to do. I might as well be back on the show. It's the homie Aaron. What's up, Aaron Rand Freeman?
Hey, what's going on, folks? I'm boxed in. I'm not going to lie. People go out in the street, and I don't understand. I feel like they're just ignoring. They're just taking their lives into their own hands, and I don't know what they're doing. But fuck them. I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, when the sun runs a zone defense on you, yep. Sometimes you just have to stay in the zone, stay in the middle, and just where it's cool. We also got my homie Sterling, of course. At this point, I guess the official video game addict. You know, how's everything coming, Sterling, with you and your addiction?
Man, look, it's been trying. Steam is having their sale right now, and they're starting to send me emails like, "Hey, nigga, this shit on your wish list is cheap right now." And I just got, it's so hard, but I'm staying strong. I'm staying strong for you guys.
We appreciate it, man, because, I mean, that's one thing that, as much as we pick on you about, you know, being addicted to the video games and the Steam sales, when it comes to crack, like, the crack man doesn't send you an email, you know?
Yeah.
I bet you they wish they could. Be convenient.
Yeah. The crack man never is like, new crack in sale, crack in supply, and it's only half off, so... summer crack sale is never a email to get sent out. There's no Groupons for crack, but apparently yeah. Steam doesn't operate that way. We also got, of course, the homie who's been on the show. He may have been on the show as much as anybody, if not, except maybe Karen. It's the homie H2OK. What's up, player?
Yeah, what's up, brother? And I just want to let you know, Doug, I don't know where you've been at with the drug game, but I know motherfuckers who hook up deals through email. Hey, man, they there, text message, Facebook. They do that joint, dog. Don't hate on them coke dealers like that.
Okay,
they done moved their technology up. I thought you was trying to stay undercover so you wouldn't get arrested. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I could have been.
This is the way they use that technology, brother.
I could definitely be out of the loop on the drug game. I'm not even going to pretend.
I just watch a lot of Law and Order, so.
Okay, that crack pond would be a pretty big hit, I believe.
I think so too.
Oh, the crack pond's in?
Yes. Oh shit, you get the weed, man?
Yeah. Rollo having a 2-for-1 sale.
I know, he got buy one, get one free all this week though.
Oh, time for me to go.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pretty slow nerd week, even though I think a lot of stuff is going to probably pop up next week because things are happening live at Comic-Con as we do this show. And I'm assuming they probably held some of their announcements, bigger announcements for the weekend and stuff like that anyway. But we're going to go ahead and talk about the nerd stuff that I could find and whatnot. The first things first, though, I want to ask everybody, what have you guys been playing? Like video game wise, and I'll go around the room. Karen, what have you been playing?
I started, which I didn't get deep enough to it to be on Playing Dead, but I started playing the beginning of The Walking Dead, and this, as I thought, was scary. But I'm gonna forge my way, because I'm used to watching Roderick play and like sitting in the background. But now I'm like the character, so I'm like, oh shit! For some reason, the shit gets real when you got to press the buttons.
Okay, so you've been playing some Walking Dead, and Playing Dead is a podcast Karen referred to that we play like different chapters of the Walking Dead video game, and every other week we have like a review of the decisions we made and, you know, different analysis. Chris from the Insanity Check is like the person who hosts that show, And so far we've had me, Kev, and Brandon on. Karen, whenever she catches up, hopefully she can be on too if she doesn't get too scared.
I know, right?
Aaron, what you been playing, man?
I'm going through The Last of Us for the second time.
Okay, yeah, I've heard.
With you guys. I'm 11 with you guys. That game.
No spoilers, please. No spoilers. No spoilers.
Oh, please. I've learned. I was trained militarily.
Thank you, my friend.
I was just gonna say that when I said it's very good a month ago, I think it may be one of my top five of this generation now, the second time through it.
Wow.
So that's all I'll say. It's extremely good.
Yeah, I've been hearing stuff like best game ever. I'm not shocked at all. And everybody I know that has played it, I know it's gotta be great because they refuse to spoil it. Even though I do not own a PlayStation.
Yep. Every step of that game is spoiling it. So I mentioned, I don't talk about it to anyone. It's exactly it. The game itself, the story, you could write on a napkin. The story is every step you take from beginning to end. So when people ask about it, I go, oh, it's all right. It's good. It's good. You should play it. That's it. You should play it.
Yeah. It's just so funny though. Whenever I'm like, they're like, yeah, it's the greatest game ever. I'm like, what's so good about it? Oh man, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
It was like, you might play it one day. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'll probably never own a PlayStation 3. Well, just in case, man, you know, one day
I had that same thing happen with me with Metal Gear Solid 4. Like, everyone else was playing it. All my entire friends were playing it. I didn't have a PS3. No one was spoiling for me. They were just like, man, you just got to play it. And I finally got a chance to play it. And I was like, you know what? I'm glad they didn't spoil it for me. That was a good experience.
Let's face it, if you're ever thinking about getting a PlayStation 4 at any point, I believe they're going to have the option of downloading most of the PlayStation 3 library. So at some point in the next 5 years, you'll be able to play The Last of Us.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I own it right now, too, and everything. I just haven't put that much time into it. I'm way, way early into the game. I can give you the scenario where I'm at. You'd be like, oh, my God, you need to keep playing. So
yeah, it's definitely in my list of, like, one day because I've heard nothing but great things. It actually topped U.S. sales for June.
Wow.
So, you know, and as much as even games I really love this year haven't been able to do that. Like, Tomb Raider was one of my favorite games this year, and it didn't even top its month in sales. So, all right, what have you been playing, Womb God, Sterling?
The normal shit. 2K, Borderlands, and Borderlands 2, doing that last DLC that just came out for it.
Okay.
That's really it.
That's the one with, like, Tiny Tina is the star of that DLC.
Yep.
She's one of my favorite characters in video game history. And I feel bad for saying that because it's a really simple, like, stereotype. It's just like a young hip-hop black, you know, ironically black talking white woman, white girl.
Well, you know, people were trying to petition her to get, like, her dialogue removed from the game because of that, right?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yep.
Yeah, it was the guy who wrote that game. Yeah, he used to write for Destructoid, Anthony Birch, and like people were sending him tweets and emails and sending it to Gearbox saying, like, you know what, we think that the Tiny Tina character is racist.
Whoa.
And God, if I can find the article, like, but pretty much his answer was like, it's not racist. Go fuck yourselves. I mean, that's what his answer amounted to. I agree with him. Tiny Tina's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, she talks about any ebonics and whatnot. And I'm like,
no.
It's not that racist, dude. It's not racist at all. Just shut up.
Mm.
So no one's interacted with a young white woman that talks like that. Like, literally, that's just not even a big strike. No one's ever seen a white girl with the cornrows and the tank top.
Yeah, she's a 13-year-old kid. Like, that's how the fuck they talk.
As not a stretch at all. I just thought it was a character. I thought it was a quirk.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't know that they were boycotting her, writing them, petitioning or anything. I just enjoyed the character, and I thought she was funny. And the game is a very dark humor place, and ironically, she's one of the more pure spirited, funny people in the game, in a weird way, because everybody else is like shooting people and making jokes about midgets and shit, and she's just like, I hate peanut butter cookies and shit.
Actually, dude, I was playing Borderlands earlier today, and I did her mission with the dude Fleshstick, where you got to do the whole tea party shit. Like, if you sit there and listen to her dialogue, like, you find out, like, Like, when she's torturing Flesh Stick and you gotta, like, protect him, mm-hmm. like, she's talking about how Flesh Stick killed her entire family. Yeah. And it's ridiculous. Like, they put a lot of backstory and thought into these characters. I mean, it's no, hey, she ain't there to be silly.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, her, she's actually funny. Like, some of the stories in there are just, some of the stories in Borderlands 2 are just fucked up. And you're supposed to laugh because they're so fucked up.
I would argue that's Borderlands 2 repeats that so much where they literally go, these people are living miserably. Ha, isn't it funny? LOL, they're all miserable and they're going to die. Yeah. And they do that over and over again. And that just seems to be the rhythm of the story. And I have no problem with it. I mean, I took issue around the 50th time they did that joke. but you know, it's just their thing. Tiny Tina seems to be genuinely funny apart from the rest of the story.
Yeah, so. That's how I feel too. So you've been playing Borderlands 2. What about you, Kev? What you been playing, dog?
Little bit of Borderlands 2. I think 360 had a big sale a few weeks ago, and a bunch of other games went free for Xbox Live players. Bought the original Dragon Age on the 360 again. I've played it before, bought it again for $5. Forgot how much I love that game. I kind of like the Dragon Age series over the Mass Effect series, but that's just me because I do like the I have a thing for like the fantasy type stories and shit. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, Assassin's Creed 2, which reminded me why I don't like the last two Assassin's Creed games, because it felt like there's so much more you can do with Assassin's Creed 2. I just felt like they dumbed the game down as the series progressed to make everything easier for players to get into and do. Like, with Assassin's Creed 2, like, there's just so much, and it was a lot more.
Oh, did we lose him?
Kev?
Kev,
yo, Kev, you breaking up, man.
Kev going to the Phantom Zone?
We might have lost Kev. It just went blank
Hello?
All of a sudden.
Hello?
Okay. What were you saying about Assassin's Creed 2?
I was just saying Assassin's Creed 2 makes me realize how much I prefer, how much I didn't like the last two entries in that series. Mm-hmm. Like, they really simpled the last two Assassin's Creed's game down for people, and I was not a fan of that. And also, one of the things about Assassin's Creed 2, like, you really could plan out your assassinations, kill the person that you had to do for the mission, and never get caught. I never felt like you could really do that with Assassin's Creed 3 and, to some extent, Revelations.
Yeah, is that because that's when EA bought them around that time? And maybe they wanted to make it more...
No, I don't think it's EA. It's still with Ubisoft. It's still an Ubisoft series. But they just... I don't know if it was because of the fact they kept churning them out year after year. And they wanted to try to make it simpler for more people, easier to get into, especially since they were churning out these stories. Well, don't get me wrong. I thought they did a great job with the stories. I still think the last two were kind of eh. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's, like, each button controls a different part of Ezio's body. Like, X is left hand, B is the right hand, A button is to make you run faster, Y is to do shit with your head. They didn't play you for a fool. Like, you really had to, you know, think out what you were going to do in those games.
Now, am I wrong, fellas? But don't EA and Assassin's Creed have some sort of relationship, though?
Like, I don't think so.
It's not EA.
So it's just Ubisoft decided we're going to milk this and start putting it out once a year?
Yeah.
Ubisoft and I think that, yeah, Ubisoft and Activision, yeah, they're like the big three, so... Like, one could be centered, like, the MLB, one could be centered the NFL, one could be centered the NBA.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Well, okay. So right now, I was just wondering.
Ubisoft is the Major League Baseball. Okay. One some people really, really like, but not too many people care about.
Yeah.
Definitely the NFL is probably EA. And then the NBA, you know, go with Activision. You know, they got their Call of Duty, they got their big sales, but, you know, hey, the NFL still puts out, you know, the best-selling product each year.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, though, because I guess I just associated with EA once it started going yearly, because that's such an EA move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And I definitely stopped enjoying the games as much. Like, this last one I played, it just frustrated me because it was just long and it was open world, but then the ending was basically like I started where I ended the last game pretty much. and I didn't feel like I progressed enough in the story, and it felt like, well, you're just doing this, so I'll buy the next one and hope that I'll get some. It felt like playing, it's like if Lost was a video game. That's how I felt. Yeah. It was like, okay, now I have 7 more questions than when I started this shit, and you didn't answer the 7 ones that I came in with, so fuck you and fuck this game. Like, I probably am done playing the Assassin's Creed franchise, even though I really enjoyed Assassin's Creed 2, specifically, so.
I'm that same way. Like, I have no desire really to play Black Flag that comes out later. I really think, like, those spinoffs from Assassin's Creed 2, which they brought out year after year, I mean, it just kind of really watered down the franchise. Like, I was playing through the opening of Assassin's Creed 2, and, like, man, like the opening of that game, like, you're sitting here climbing up a tower with your brother in, like, Italy or wherever the hell they're living at right now, and, like, it just feels epic, like, and I never got that feeling from the other Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah.
Like, that scrawl comes across me in Assassin's Creed 2. You, Ezio and his brother are just staring there, looking over, like, over the Italian, like, whatever. It's an awesome feeling. I was like, man, I want to keep playing this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a rule that I think I truly believe in, that no game benefits from having teams, multiple teams making one game from different parts of the world. And Assassin's Creed has been spreading itself pretty thin since Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, I think. Assassin's Creed 2-2 is Brotherhood. And then they started spreading it out. So I know that this current Assassin's Creed is being created by 5 different development teams.
Wow.
That was the problem. If you were to put it into words, Assassin's Creed 3 felt like it was being made. It was about 7 different average games that just met each other at the party.
You got too many tickles in the boat.
What'd you say?
That's not how to quote those. Nah, I was trying to think of that quote as like too many something in a pickle pot or a jar pot or something. You know what? Nah, never mind. Too many hands in a candy dish. I'm fucking up my euphemism, so it's okay.
Okay.
That's cool. 2 chefs in the kitchen. Too many chefs in the kitchen.
Yep. There you go.
The problem with Assassin's Creed 3 is it feels like there were literally 5 or 6 average games and good ideas that just met each other at the party and didn't know each other. It was very awkward.
Right.
So it was, you know.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Go ahead, Sterling.
I think that's going to happen with a lot more Ubisoft games, because I believe this week Ubisoft came out and said, we won't make a game that we can't franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And that really bothers me when you think about games like Watch Dogs. And I can't foresee that having a sequel, and I don't want it. And I feel like they're just going to start milking every franchise. So even if they have one really good game in the beginning, it's going to get to what Assassin's Creed is now. It doesn't need to happen.
What I read from Ubisoft is that they said they want to release open world games on a regular basis.
That's hard to do. Maybe that's just me, and maybe y'all can explain this. When I think I've played open world games, but open world games is when you can go and there's no like restrictions or rules and regulations. You can just go and just run and roam and play,
you can
right?
Just play around and do whatever, like a Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, okay.
You pick the missions that you would like to do. Like,
yeah,
in a way, Fable 2 and 3, which you play, are open world games in their own right, where you can go through the missions strictly and beat the game in a few hours, or you can go,
and do all
I'm going to go on a bunch of quests. I'm
okay.
Gonna, so that's an open world game.
And all the side stuff with a thing to me, and maybe I might have a misunderstanding, when you make world games like this that are open, you also, I guess if you want them to be good, it takes a lot of development, a lot of planning, a lot of laying out and things like that, versus you just kind of cranking them out all cookie cutter, which means eventually we're going to get the same game over and over again with a few tweaks.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Okay, I wanted to be sure I understood that.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with Assassin's Creed to me, and I was, it felt like the heart of it was gone.
Yeah.
It was just more like, here's a running mission. Here's a mission where you have to, you know, hide. Here's a mission where you have to get on the roof. And it was like over and over and over the same thing.
Yeah, because
it really made Connor feel like to be an inept assassin.
I haven't played that one yet.
He always kept getting caught. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't played that one yet.
I'm just going to say Assassin's Creed 3, I'm going to warn you then, Rod, is a broken game above all else.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very glitchy and broken. Like, one reason why I had to get rid of it was because it didn't work. And objectively, as much as I wanted to play through the story, I just paid $60 for a game that doesn't work and that doesn't fly. So damn. I'm warning you about that. There are a lot of glitches. Some of them are very funny. There was one, I will say this, and I'm sorry if it does come off like a little bit of a spoiler. I had an assassination where I was chasing someone, and apparently some dude from the crowd glitched into the person and pushed him to the ground, and I just tackled him in 10 feet. Like, it was supposed to be some epic chase through a crowd, and some lady just hit him with a rolling pin, and wow. I just tackled him. I was like, what? Got him. 2 seconds. So, shit. You know, it's funny, but... Well, a lot of the game just is broken. Just a fair warning.
Well, I say, wow. Here's what's funny.
Those chases were horrible in Assassin's Creed 3, man. I hated those chases.
Here's what's crazy. Ubisoft sales slid 42% last year.
Of course, because it makes sense, because to me, it's several things wrong here. One, you stifle creativities of the people that actually have the creativity to make a real world, an open world where you can go in, you can have fun. When you're pushing it out year after year, you kind of cut that part off, and it makes it very boring and very lame. And people don't want to get to serve the same thing. This time it got ketchup, this time it got mustard, but I'm getting the same thing.
Well, 42% is a pretty big drop.
You also got to think about it in the condescending way, because they actually came out in a news article and said, we're going to keep making sequels to all of our games until consumers tell us not to.
Yeah.
And they don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, well, and 42% is a big drop. They'll start giving a fuck soon, because it's not like they didn't put big releases out. Far Cry 3, Assassin's Creed 3, that's pretty big. They also have Rayman Origins, Rocksmith, and Dance Dance 4, but I don't know that they were dependent on making the most money from those, but that Far Cry 3 tank is pretty big.
Wow.
And they did do well off the DLC, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, but they probably can't depend on that for the rest of, you know, they gotta come up with another plan. I played, of course, Walking Dead Chapter 1. Found it very fun to go back through that and make different decisions this time. Found a bunch of stuff that I didn't know could happen. So that was fun. But most of all, I enjoyed playing Deadpool. That game is so fun. And I'm not going to spoil it. I know you guys haven't played it yet. But for me as a person that's a fan of Deadpool, and I want everybody to be honest with themselves, are they a fan of Deadpool? Because if you're not, it's completely fine. Wait for this shit to drop. But as somebody that's a fan of Deadpool, I was amazed at how well, I shouldn't even say amazed anymore, but High Moon Studios completely got it, which they're making a habit of doing, you know, where they just completely understood the core of this character and what makes him good to fans. And they didn't just go, how do we turn the video game into a comic book? They basically were like, what if we just took a character from a comic book and made him into a video game? So there's a whole lot of like breaking the fourth wall, super silly like fights and stunts, all kind of crazy one-liners. Like it felt like I played the game for like 10 hours and he never repeated the same one-liner. It was just like,
wow.
Because it's full of it, and there's so many gags in between, like, you know, this is really a spoiler, but there's one time where you're stealth sneaking up on people to kill them, and you sneak into a bathroom, and two guys are using a urinal, and of course they have the guy space between them, you know, and they're just two regular henchmen, and you go take a leak in between them as Deadpool, and you won't shut up, and you just keep making like dick jokes and fart jokes and shit jokes.
Wow.
And it tells you like, well, press this button if you want to make this joke, and then like at some point it's like, well, press this button if you want to kill him. Well, I just never pressed the kill him button. And he did,
I would really appreciate,
he did a stand up, didn't he?
Really, he did 5 minutes of piss humor. Like, it was just like, and that's just one example, and the game is full of shit like that where you're just like, you know what, I'm gonna keep hitting this button and see if they let me get away with it, and they have thought about it, like everything like that in the game they've thought about it. And you get like achievements sometimes. You don't know that you'll get an achievement, but you get achievements sometimes for just being like, I'm gonna slap Wolverine, you know, until they make me stop. And you just keep doing it. And he keeps having these jokes, man. It's so good, man. I think if you're a Marvel fanboy or a big fan of Deadpool, or even if you just want to hear jokes made about comic books and video games in general, you should check it out. Especially, like, if you're any type of video game comic book nerd, some of the behind the scenes jokes that they make are really great. And the production value, man, for the jokes is really great. Now, as far as just a video game, I think if you name this, you know, Larry or some shit, it's a $20 game. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. And if you're not into Deadpool, and you're not into the breaking the fourth wall, you're not into, you know, his crass humor and, you know, making 27 jokes and shit like that in a row. If you're not into that, I would skip it probably, because it's not necessarily your type of game. And I totally understand that, but I really enjoyed Deadpool, and that's pretty much all I played this week.
Can we give a shout out to your general human maturity for being able to say that? You know how many reviews I saw of Deadpool that were irrationally 5 out of 10 because they weren't into Deadpool? It was a solid game, but they just didn't like Deadpool. So they're like, this is just like any other game, 5 out of 10, which is not a bad thing. Solid game.
Right.
I played it, and I was like, oh, this is all right. I'm not a big fan of Deadpool, so I'm like, you know. But I think if I knew someone who liked Deadpool, this would really work.
Right.
And
yeah.
It seems so hard for someone to go, I don't want this. This is good. I just don't feel like playing it now, but someone else should try it. 7 yeah. out of 10, 8 out of 10 or whatever. But when they don't like it, they dock games 3 points.
Right.
Irrationally, because they just don't like it.
And it's also very rare to find, and I think all of us that play video games and love video games, it's very rare that these video game companies take somebody else's property seriously. You know, like, this could have been Alien Colonial Marines or whatever. Like, this could have been that, where they just go, you know what, man, slap the name on it. Fanboys are going to buy the shit anyway. Who gives a fuck if we get Deadpool right? He has two swords, right? You know what I mean? It could have been that. Well, doesn't he have two guns at a time? Like, but they actually went through and were like, no, these people depend on us to get it right. And, you know, it doesn't, I'm not surprised that the same studio that made Transformers Fall of Cybertron got it right again, man.
Yeah, so. That was a pretty game. I've watched Roderick play that game, and I've actually watched him play Deadpool, and even I'm like laughing in the background going, oh shit, did he just say that? Like, it's really funny. And something I also wanted to add, it's something else I was playing, but I forgot. And yeah, I'm going to pull out the girly in me. I was playing a game called Kingdom for Keflins. I've actually beat that damn game, and I love that game so much. And I know y'all probably understand. I've literally played this game like 2 or 3 times. It's like my third time playing the whole game.
Can you explain what Kingdom for Keflins is? It's a game on Xbox Live, right?
Yeah, it's a game on Xbox Live. It's really, really, really simple. What it does, it takes your avatar. And your avatar basically is this giant in this kingdom of little people. And you help them do things. You help them, like, you build homes for them. The whole concept of the game is to build them a kingdom. So you're, like, building, like, hey, if I build this, now you can make a house. If I build this, now we can do this. And they do supplies where, you know, they go chop their own wood. They go, you know, break their own rocks and things like that. It's a very, very simple ass game, but do not ask me why. I just love it because it's a very colorful game. It's a very bright game. Put like this: if you are 10 and under, you probably will love this game. If you are older and you want something more mature, this is not the game for you.
Well, it also seems very therapeutic. Honestly, it is.
It's relaxing. Like I just love just getting on there and seeing my avatar move around, and it's very interactive. Like, other people can come on, so you can actually, like, be on there. Other people can, like, jump in your game, help you build, or they could be assholes and kick your homes over and kick your people around and kick your sheep and all that bullshit if they want to, because I've had that happen before. And you get, like, achievements for stuff like that. Like, you get achievements for going on to other people's games. You get achievements for people coming on your game. You can actually swap emoticons. Like, they have different things you can do. So as you get along, you can make your avatar break dance, and the little people will come and start break dancing with them. You can make them, like, sing, and they'll sing too. So it's a very interactive game. And like I said, I know you guys can relate, cause I love that game. And, something that made me, wish that, I can't wait till the Xbox or whatever, the Xbox One, whatever, start downloading games, because years ago I played a game called Blue Dragon and I love this game. Roger, you know I love this game. So I looked on, online, and I was like, I looked on actually through Xbox. I was like, Blue Dragon, and I seen it. I clicked it. I was like, why can't I buy it? Damn it, I can't buy it. I was like, Roger, we got to go buy this game. I can't just download it. He was like, no. And I wanted to cry. See, people like me.
Is that a role playing game, Karen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I played over 150 hours on that game.
Right, but you're not a nerd. let's talk about movies real quick. Did anybody go to see either of the nerd movies this week, Pacific Rim or RIPD?
Yes.
Okay, who was that? Sterling?
It was me. I saw Pacific Rim on Sunday.
Okay, yeah. What'd you think about Pacific Rim, man?
I almost cried.
Yeah.
Like, it was my childhood on screen.
Mm-hmm.
This shit was just so good. It was robots fighting monsters.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, it was just robots, and they were fighting monsters on the screen.
Yeah.
That was greatness.
I'm getting a little bit of static real quick. Hey, Kev, is that you? That with the headphone static or anything? Let me see.
Might be, because... Don't sound like he responded.
Nah, it's not Kev.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, it might be you, Sterling. But, yeah, I watched it. Karen watched it. Karen, what'd you think about Pacific Rim?
It was, greatness. And I rarely, rarely use this, but Avenger Initiative. I will say that before I make any further, comments. The reason why I say this is because it was greatness. I got to watch big ass robots fight big ass monsters and destroy a whole damn city. I watched them pick up what you call that, crates and
am I back on?
Yeah, you're back. Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And I saw them pick up crates and fight. I saw shit fly, and I got to watch it on a big ass screen. I got to watch it in HD, and I am an anime fan. So for the first time ever, I feel like live action anime got its justice.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was one of those things where I really was excited. It was everything that I hoped it would be. I'm glad it didn't disappoint me. And Roderick has said this before, but it's one of those things where people who are not anime fans, who don't like anime, don't watch anime, are just turned off by the whole concept of cartoons. For a lot of them, they went and watched the movie and was just like, well, I don't get it. And I can understand that. But for me, I was like, yes, I am in. I had a blast from start to finish.
Yeah. Kev, did you see Pacific Rim?
Yeah. We had we had screeners for it, so that's how we all got to do the review. So I saw it in IMAX 3D. I loved every minute of this movie, like from start to finish. Me and two of my buddies, I got them in the press row with me, and we were just sitting there middle of the IMAX theater with the glasses on, just loving every second of this movie. I do want to go see it again. I have someone threatening me that I need to go see World War Z, but I'm not too big on it because I read the book and shit, so, but we'll see. I do want to see Pacific Rim again, man.
Yeah.
It's on my mind.
I've seen World War Z.
Don't waste your time.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
No.
As far as Pacific Rim though, this is one of those movies are made for. The theater experience is made for, cause, seeing how big and overwhelming everything is, it really does, you can't do that justice at home on your TV or on your laptop or your iPhone. Like, you really need to be there to see how huge everything is.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I have to say is I can 100% completely understand why someone would be like, I did not like this movie. I didn't get it. Blah, blah. I really understand it. And I don't have any problem with people because
no.
I know people that just don't like anime in general.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love anime.
Yep.
I think after I saw this movie, the first thing I told everybody was like, yo, if you like Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yes.
If you grew up watching Robotech, Macross, if you grew up, liking Ultraman.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up watching, Godzilla and shit, this is for you. Like, this is the time, like, for us as nerds where, and I say that, and I mean it specifically for us because they didn't cut corners and try to turn this into an American film. Like, most of the time, whenever something of Japanese origin or roots are in another, another culture and they bring it to America, they just bastardize it. They're just like, mm-hmm. Yo, how do we turn this thing into, how do we turn this into American money and get Americans to get, this is the first time where they were like, nope, this is how it would have went down in an anime and this is how it's going down in this movie.
And I loved it.
And, I was just geeking out the whole time. And I think I could understand if people didn't like the reasoning or buy-in and some of the stuff that happened, but, I was a big fan of it, man. And I'm glad we're living in an age where we get nerd shit like this with a big budget and a serious director like Del Toro doing it. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you're still on the fence about going to see it, this is the kind of movie that movies were made for. So don't be on the fence. Like, if you're thinking about going to see it because you're like, can I just wait for DVD or something? If you're any type of anime fan, they didn't cop out. Just go see it. If you're not, you can skip it because honestly, like, it's real anime.
Like when she say real anime, I'm talking like real anime. They do things like the love interests are kind of at each other, but and you can feel the romantic tension, but they never get together. That's strictly anime.
That platonic love interest.
And I think what upsets me a lot of times is when they take these movies and they try to Americanize them. They want people to fall in love. They have stuff where they make their love interest a big part of the movie when most of the time I don't give a fuck. I want big robots and monsters and shit like that. I didn't come to see them have a 5-minute, conversation with each other or a sex scene and shit like that.
Like, I've heard people get mad at critics for saying this, but the critics are being correct. As corny as it is, this film does bring heart back to the cinema. And as far as a big budget film, like, I can understand people that thought Superman didn't have any of the corny sentimentality of the comic book, right? Like, oh, well, it's a little bit darker. It's a little more grown up. I like my Superman to save one baby and do, all that stuff. I understand those people, but like, this movie does have that corniness and this does have that sentimentality of, of the, emotional moments and stuff like that are supposed to like happen before you go out and fight for the world. So I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I thought they definitely went with all the corny shit from anime where it's just like, this dude's having a crisis of conscience and, this is why. And, he's going to get over this issue at some point, but how, that whole thing. So, all right, let's talk about news. We got a bunch of news to get to. Analyst predicts Xbox One to PS4 shortages at launch. That's right.
That's like common sense. That's not news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not how it is. I've never seen a console launch where they were. We have everything everyone needs, guys. It's as awesome. All of you. All of you. Get one. All of you.
I can name one. Wii U. You could have got that Wii U the next day, day after that.
And the day after
couple
that.
Couple weeks later.
Months later, you go pick up one now.
Go cop your Wii U.
Everybody gets a Wii U.
So, I think some people tried to, no offense to my Nintendo fans out there, but some of my Nintendo fans tried to turn that into it's the economy. It's not time for the new consoles. It would have happened to anybody. Nah. They already saying that
Americans just ain't buying Wii's.
Can I propose that we just disregard the Wii U launch?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Flexing, like I'm talking about systems that like people want.
Okay.
Not like a small section. Like if you were looking forward to the Wii U, you're part of an American subculture, and there's nothing wrong with that. And your life choices are your life choices. But let's not act like it's the same crowd of people splashing Amazon to pre-order fucking. Real consoles.
Yeah.
Kind of real relevant.
That's a good point. That's valid. EA signed a new deal with college football. So, it's a non-exclusive 3-year deal that would allow EA to continue making new college football games. It goes into effect next July. Give EA's the rights to more than 150 colleges, conferences, and bowl games in its franchise, and it's not clear if any schools have chosen not to participate, but I can't imagine
still
why
not
they
cool
wouldn't.
With that.
Yeah, you don't like these deals? I'm not a big fan of them either.
I'm not. Like, no. Competition is there for a reason, and like, I thought EA was at its best when it was like competing with like, you know, the, as far as the NFL goes, mm-hmm. the 2K series, and you've already seen what its basketball series has done to NBA Live. I mean, it was to the point where they canceled their game. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a year or two ago, and they still haven't caught back up.
I want to say they canceled it 2 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. It is.
They probably did. Like, they had it. They had it on.
Yeah.
Like, they had screenshots, videos.
Not
videos,
I'll do you one like better, Kev. Kev, I'll do you one better. They had a person on the cover in endorsing it, and didn't come out with that game.
Wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. So,
and like, they canceled like the launch of it, I think maybe like a couple weeks before it was supposed to come out. And I think it was like because of like how the rave of the reviews, and I think that was the year they put Jordan on the cover of NBA 2K.
Yeah. It's the Derrick Rose of video games. So he refuses to come back.
I wish they would, and maybe because of for the Madden, I think that the way EA does it's almost like your phone company or your cable company. It's like us and nobody. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, well, your prices are not going to drop. You're not going to give better service. You're not going to improve. You're not going to grow because you're not forced to.
Yeah. I really thought the NFL and NBA 2K's franchises when they were out were superior. And then luckily they got really aggressive and 2K really went after them once they lost that NFL license. They pretty much just balled them out of existence, with the NBA license. So I'm sure EA is even more scared of losing the exclusivity with, the NFL at some point, because if 2K gets another shot at it, who knows what they'll do to football.
Ain't that the truth?
That ESPN 2K5, when that thing came out, I mean, they released it for $20.
Yes.
As opposed to EA's, 50. And that thing was a better playing football game than any Madden I could have ever seen. And it also had highlights, dog. Like, you would end the week on your franchise and hit, like, the Y button. You can watch Chris Berman go through all the games and he randomly show you, like, a highlight from other games. I'm like, dog, this is what I fucking want.
Yes.
Like, this is amazing.
It's still to this day the best football game I've ever played.
I agree.
And I think the EA even went after, like, the ESPN license. Like, they still haven't even, like, correctly used it, in my opinion, with their game. Like, the fact that they did that back in 2005.
And the thing that was amazing to me about that, the 2K5, the 2K series in NFL was that the game actually, it rewarded smart play and not just gimmick shit. Like, Madden will have like years where it's like, okay, if you come out and change your formation 7 times, the defense fatigue will be too high to stop you. And it's like, that's not a real thing that would happen
after
in a football
game. After
4
plays. Four no huddle plays. The entire defense is unable to breathe.
Yeah. That shit would not happen in real life.
Nope.
Come on.
So it was stuff like that where people were just like, and you know, this year we moved the juke button to the right stick. You're like, that's not worth $60.
And this,
that's not innovation, dog.
No, that's not.
Remember QB cone vision?
Yeah, I'm about to say that view where you could turn certain ways.
That was actually kind of innovative.
I think maybe if that came out when we had Kinect, that might make more sense. But when I'm trying to make a controller as accurate as turning my head, it's never going to be as quick. I'm sorry, but my eyes are going to always move faster than my fingers to that controller.
That was the most extraneous thing in the world when you had to, before you press square to hit the receiver, you had to then aim at him. So you had to then drop back, look at the field, and then make your eyes are there, but your cyber dude is not looking where you're looking. So you're like, all right, cyber dude, look left. Okay, right. I'm looking left. Then you press square. It was the most extraneous thing I've ever done. I had to turn that off immediately when I bought the game.
Yes.
It was horrible.
It was a good idea in theory, I think.
Also, I'm going to say this. 2K5 was the only football game I've played in the last decade that had artificial intelligence for offensive linemen. It's a very subtle thing. The offensive linemen ran the play you called. They didn't just go block and the numbers dictated what happened, you would run the ball and they would run the play.
Yes.
And your offensive lineman ran the play just as well as your wide receivers ran the play you called. Right. And that EA has walked away from that. Offensive linemen do whatever the fuck they want and have been for a decade.
Man, I used to take the Eagles and do that fucking running back sweep. Yep. And like follow those two linemen around that corner.
And it
made sense. But and the beauty of it was, as compared to Madden, the fucking computer would pick up on it, and you'd be able to at some point
able to read where your blockers are going to go and be able to spring for a good run, even if you're playing on a harder difficulty.
Yeah.
Like you could see those holes develop, which is what I liked about it. Like I played running back in high school. I'm like, man, you know what? That's just it's subtle. And I think more so people who play football may have noticed it. But, yeah, it's subtle, but it was awesome.
And you can also fake out the defense when you're playing against a computer, which you really can't do with Madden, where I can just keep hitting them underneath for a little bit. And at some point, they're going to be like, oh, fuck no. Let's just blitz this motherfucker. And then I go deep. Then I go play action, and they'll bite as long as I've done the things to set it up in the game. Like,
right.
It is not like it's intuitive, but it's also it rewards you being smart. Yeah. Madden feels way too much like luck for me.
Yeah, Madden has the strangest defensive back. It's always had this problem where defensive backs aren't acknowledging anything until it's time to then swat the ball to the ground. So it's impossible to read what's happening. You see a defensive back backpedaling, and then your guy runs past him. Defensive back backpedals, and then all of a sudden turns his back to the play and makes a diving, perfectly accurate swat at the ball 30 yards downfield, like right in mid-flight. He's being beaten by 10 yards, and all of a sudden he just jumps and knocks the ball down mid-flight. A play I've seen Champ Bailey make that play once watching football for 20 years of my life.
I remember NFL 2K also had that thing where if you were fucking up, they'd stop and show you what you could have done that was good. Like the announcer would be like, yeah, he had a guy beat over here, but it looks like the quarterback went underneath. And you're like, fuck! But it made sense. It helped me learn. EA signed the college deal, so we'll see what happens with that. South Park has had a video game coming out, The Stick of Truth.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that to actually drop, so.
Yeah,
it seems like it's been pushed back. Did you guys know that the script for the game ballooned up to 850 pages at one point, and now they're cutting out stuff? And they told Trey Parker, one of the co-creators of South Park, they said, hey man, we can just like add this content back later as like DLC. And to which he said, fuck that, I'll put it on my TV show before I let you guys make it DLC.
That is fucking awesome. That is amazing.
Yeah.
What is it like to have that much power, man? I'll take it back. but you wrote it for us. Yeah, if you're not going to use it, just give it back.
Don't waste my time. Yeah.
It'll make a good show. I need a week off anyway. EA.
Really put them on point like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, the direct quote from Trey Parker is, Parker explained that his team was urged to cut it down. And instead use this extra content as DLC. This drew jeers from the crowd. The crowd is booing, and he goes, and I agree, fuck that. Direct quote.
that's why I fuck with South Park, dog. You fuck with South Park.
That's so dope. EA has a Dead Space movie franchise in the works.
Yay.
Here's the thing. Has anyone played Dead Space before thinking about making these fucking depressing ass movies?
I feel like EA has neglected the fact that Dead Space 3 has 11 suicides in it.
Yeah,
just dudes shooting themselves in the fucking face for whatever reason. It's not happy. Like, I feel like EA doesn't understand. Like, that, no one in the office, like, they fired the last person that has touched Dead Space with a controller. And they're just like, we're going to franchise. We're going to make movies. We're going to have commercials with rock music. It's going to be action-packed. We're going to have microtransactions. I'm like, sir, there are 11 suicides.
Work that way?
It's going to, like, this is going to be Event Horizon level depressing, in my opinion.
Oh, I hated that movie.
Like, it's scary, and then everyone is like, I can't take this. I'm out. Like, that's how every, like, when we watched Event Horizon, The first time it was too scary and Karen left the theater.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And she was like, you can stay and watch it, but I'm scared. I was like,
I'm out. So, I was like, I'm out.
So I was pissed because I spent my money on that movie ticket and I was, and it wasn't even that scary to me. So I was like, no, fuck that. So we paid for Event Horizon again and I made Karen sit there and watch it with me because I was like, this shit isn't even scary. You're not going to have nightmares. You're not a fucking baby. You are a grown ass woman. And we watched it, and then at the end of the movie, I apologized to her because it was so bad. I was like,
it was terrible.
I was trying to make a point. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess in my haze of anger with you leaving with that movie ticket, I didn't take the time to realize this movie's depressing as shit, and there's really nothing good about it.
It was. It was sad.
So I don't know, man. And also, like, Isaac Clarke is kind of a dude that it doesn't matter who the actor is playing him because he's in a fucking helmet for the whole game, pretty much. I don't know, man. I hope this. I mean, I hope it just doesn't get the like Silent Hill treatment or something, where they just like
have to.
Yeah.
Either it's gonna have to, or it's gonna end like every other Dead Space. Dead Space is just not a. I mean, you know what? No, I'm gonna take that back. Maybe the first Dead Space story where something good happens at the end, because yeah. Isaac Clarke is the only no person to survive a Dead Space story. There are lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only person that doesn't die cowering in space.
Yeah.
The only one. So you know what? Maybe this Dead Space will have a happy ending, and we'll all walk out of the theater whistling, because I've read the novels, and I've seen the movies, and read the comics, and it sucks. They're all the same.
Yeah.
So maybe this is, maybe, the, you know, it'll be a good thing. Probably not.
There was a poll. Apparently, few Japanese people want to buy Xbox One.
Of course. This is not shocking.
Mm-hmm. And also few Japanese people want to buy a PlayStation 4. So I guess what that means is
buying the Wii's then.
No, I think it just means people ain't ready for a new console yet over there. True. Like they're a little more savvy than us. We're like, you announced it, I fucking hate it. Oh, ticket for two, please. You know? And I guess Japan, they're a little more savvy. They're like, I don't want this shit, man. Don't put this out. But you know what? It doesn't count till the sales come out. So we'll see what happens with the sales figures. But apparently in a poll, they said I could give a fuck about, I'm happy with what I got right now.
And they also said with the way that the new consoles are made, they're not made for their lifestyle. Like here, yeah. Everything centers around our cable vision, telephone, internet. No, but there, they, you know, their internet is quicker and faster, but they also have a lot of censorship on shit and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So over there, they're looking like, I don't need an all-in-one system. Like I'm not paying that money, and it's a waste of their time. So to them, they're like, well, you know, why would I buy something for shit that don't matter?
Yep.
There are a cell phone and tablet gaming community now.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to, they're not, something that firmly puts your ass in front of the television is not their culture, literally.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. So they aren't that excited. Did you guys see the trailer for the Strider video game?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I only saw the picture of it, but mm-hmm. They already had me sold, dude. I'm like, about fucking time. Like, there are certain older franchises I would really like them to, like, remake and do it right. Like they've done it with a few of them. Like they did I don't know if you guys remember Ghouls and Ghosts or Ghosts and Goblins. They remade that with Maximo.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another good one that was recently remade.
Castlevania.
Yeah, that was actually good.
Lord of Shadows, extremely good.
Yeah, Lord of Shadows. Aaron put me onto it.
I do disagree. I really try to play Lord of Shadows, but compared to the 2D side-scrolling ones, I was extremely bored with it.
Nah, Avengers Initiative
played
on this.
I played like 11 missions, and I was just like, man, I feel like I'm falling asleep playing it.
Yeah,
and I mean, if you think it's a good game, don't get me wrong. I've had my other friends tell me too.
Yeah,
but it just bored the shit out of me.
Yeah, so, Avengers Initiative on this shit because Aaron put me onto this game, and I thanked him because I did not know that shit existed, and I assumed it was like the other 2D remakes that they had been doing of Castlevania, which are kind of lifeless to me. And
I love the 2D ones on like the Game Boy Advance, and even the one they actually released on the 360. Like I love the 2D.
They remade Symphony of the Night. Yeah.
No, not even that. They did the Harmony of Dissonance, which is the four player Castlevania. Like me and my buddy bought it like years ago, and we still play it today.
Wow,
it's fun to us.
Well, we're complete opposites. I could not get into that, and I tried.
No, it's cool, dude. It's cool.
But you know what I liked about that Lord of Shadows game, Aaron? One, the story doesn't really come together until near the end, and very few games are able to pull it off.
Yep.
But this shit completely, like, I remember I would email you or G-chat you and be like, dude, is it me or does this fucking game not make any sense, man? Like, I'm on level 7, and I don't get what the fuck the relationship with these wolves and these other things are. Why is it? And you'd be like, just keep playing.
And you know what, Rod? If I didn't have Aaron tell, if I had someone like Aaron telling me that, I'd probably still be playing it, or probably not finished it out. I never had any of that, and it was at a time where I was just like, you know what? There's something better out. I want to play. I can trade this shit in.
Oh, okay. I recommend you try it again if you can find it for $5, please. Because you gotta be. I really understand that sometimes you just gotta be in the right headspace to play a game.
But you know what, Aaron? My thing is now is like I've played other games that are of that same similar vein, which I experienced a better story. I would much rather go buy those games, which I know are probably going to be just as cheap, and replay, get that experience again. I'm telling you
the way the story goes, so much comes together at the end, you don't know. Like, I'm telling you, I had the same experience. I think I went through, and it's deep. Like, I'm saying, like, if there's 20 chapters in the game, it's like chapter 18 or 19 where I had the oh moment that made everything worth it. And also, I will say this though, this game is for people that like a challenge, because it's a fighter that rewards you for skill and not just hacking and slashing and button hit mashing. I never turned the difficulty down. I'm sure I could have, but I wanted to I wanted the challenge. Yeah, and like there's boss fights where you're really sitting here like, all right, I am escaping.
The same way you feel about this game, about like the Devil May Cry games.
Yeah, I like those.
That's why I play the Devil May Cry games.
Yeah.
And another thing, like as far as like compared to like maybe like the recent Devil May Cry game,
mm-hmm.
I mean it's almost that same kind of structure, great fighting type of game. You do got to do a little bit exploring here and there. But mm-hmm. The thing is, the story with Devil May Cry captured me from the beginning, had me interested. Even when they weren't giving me a whole lot of stuff, I was still interested enough to say that, you know what, I want to know where this goes. And I wasn't getting that from Castlevania. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad game, but Castlevania.
Yeah.
If a game takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also happened with me with Final Fantasy, I think it was 12 that released for 360.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 12 or 13? I can't remember which one it was, but I played that one for 25 hours, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm done with this. This shit is boring. I traded it in. My buddy was like, oh, man, you were right there. You got to wait. Like, once you hit like the 30-hour mark, I'm like, dude, that's too long for me to actually wait.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. What were you going to say?
I completely agree with that, but I feel like a game can't be Castlevania. Every inch of Castlevania tells a story, and it's the only game, and the only beat 'em up I've ever played where I have the patience to hold back on you pressing buttons to tell you a visual story. Like, there are parts of the game where you're just climbing for 9 minutes in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Because that shit got, and you read about it, that place has been abandoned for 2,000 years. There's one person at the top is even chilling. And right. The fact that the game is not going to break itself, because like games like God of War break themselves. Like they're like, you know, they'll talk about like you'll be in the only person in an area, and all of a sudden they'll flood 500 monsters in, so you can press buttons. Right. And you know, and Castlevania has the patience. Like for instance, if you're walking, you'll see four tents. You'll fight six trolls, and that's it, because there were four tents.
Right.
Think about that. That type of incredible attention. Like we're not going to flood the screen with trolls. Because there's only four tents. They're here. You can see how they live. You're going to murder them, but there are six of them, and then they're done. And that type of...
I like to be flooded. I like to be flooded.
You know, the other thing that was dope, too, was the combo system, and when you got to unlock combos, like, you had to learn that shit. Like, this, like, it rewards you for paying attention, because you can't just be like, okay, X, X, Y, X, and you're on level 17. You will get fucked up. Like, you need to start paying attention to X, X, hold Y, X, right trigger, Y. Like, that could be the difference between beating that boss or having to hit continue for the fucking 57th time. So I was a big fan of it. And I loved also how they, how they started giving you like little, not little, but how they started giving you like these items and they mattered, where it's like, you got these shoes now and, it can open doors, but guess what? It also has a combat use. Like, cause some games do that thing now where they're like, it's a ring and look at this beautiful magical thing it can do. It can, you know, it can now teleport you to the next world. Oh, cool. Can I use it to teleport behind someone to kill them? No. Why would you do that?
what would be the point of that?
Yeah.
Which Castlevania game is this? Lord of Shadows?
Yeah, Lord of Shadows. And they're coming out with part two, by the way. Yep. So.
Yeah.
And I saw that trailer and for the first time got excited because I knew what the fuck happened in the last game. And I normally don't get excited about Castlevania anything. So, but yeah, Strider's making a comeback. I will say this. I wasn't a huge Strider fan as a kid. My favorite, like, dealing with Strider is actually from the Marvel vs. Capcom universe.
You know what? I was going to say the same thing as you, Rod. Like, my only experience with him is from Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm game. You know, I saw the trailer.
I want to experience it. I like seeing older franchises, which, you know, probably either like the story that they tried to do back in 8-bit days, you know, yeah, they really couldn't do with the 8-bit system. And you know, you can actually do it with what we have now. I like to see those kind of games come back from time to time.
Me too. And also, like, I need them to explain why my dude only got a sword. Cause everybody that I'm fighting seem to have guns in this trailer. And I'm just wondering, like, what is it about? Is he like Snake Eyes? Is he like a
ninja? That was the same thing with Ninja Gaiden as well. Like,
yeah.
You know, you see these guys jump out of a helicopter with machine guns, and you're just this ninja holding a fucking blade.
Yeah. Like,
I'm assuming that.
I'm guessing I'm supposed to be kind of impossible right now, but okay.
What are you saying, Aaron?
I'm assuming they're just PhD students. Like, they're just advanced ninjas. Like, they're getting masters. They're out there, they're doing their dissertation. They're just like, they're so far past sneaking around. They're just out there like, fuck it. Listen, I've been studying for years. I've earned this.
No more shadow work for me.
Yeah, now you get your gun. Microsoft quarter four financials reveal the Xbox division gained $900 million. The Xbox division earned money. Surface lost $900 million.
Ooh, got to all them. You know what? Let me tell you why. Every time I turned on, I seen somebody dancing across my screen with a Surface Pro, or either they're asking them, "Hey, you got a Surface Pro yet? You got a Surface Pro?" They spent money on commercials.
Yeah, this shit was invented to, I think, make fools and their money part ways, because they did such a bad job of telling you anything it actually does.
Yeah.
Cause I've seen 17 million Surface commercials,
but I have no idea.
I haven't seen one yet that actually goes, and here's what it does. The only time I actually saw it in action was watching the TV show, Arrow. That's the only time I've seen it. And I know what.
Is it a laptop or no? Or
it's like a tablet.
It's like an all in one, ain't it?
You know what happened?
They're dancing in the commercial, so I guess it's safe.
They tricked us. Remember, there was a period of time. Remember, the first introduction of the Surface wasn't the real Surface. Mm-hmm. There was like a variant of the Surface that's like $200 or $300, and they were like, "No, this isn't the real Surface that we're talking about. The real Surface is $1,000." So they hit it and switched it into something that wasn't that good, and then they said the real one is almost over 100% more than this thing you got that isn't that great. Sorry, guys. So they had all this goodwill. There was a period of time where the Surface had a little buzz, and then they fucked everybody, and then they tried to dance in front of us to try and make us feel better, and it didn't work. And also, apparently, the Surface Pro just isn't that good. Elon has one, and he was about to just smash it and just swallow $1,000 just to smash it.
Damn.
So.
Yeah, you know. I guess the Surface price, they've dropped them a bunch, but. Yeah, that $900 million loss, dude. Like, it seemed like some technology that they couldn't tell me what it did. And that's always bad when you're like, "Look, we're dancing." And you're like, "But what does it do?"
Yeah, before I
commence the jiggling, buddy, we're dancing.
No, like, before I give you $1,000, you really need to explain what I'm doing, because for some people, there's like, I could buy a whole fucking desktop for $1,000. And from my understanding, it was supposed to be a tablet and a laptop. Yeah. And a laptop with a floating keyboard all in one.
Yeah, you know what I would like? What would have been funny is if Xbox wouldn't have learned from the loss, and that would have been how they introduced the Xbox. Like if Microsoft would have introduced the Xbox One with just a bunch of dancing around the box and shit. Like what can it do? What are the features? Hey, everybody, get dancing. And grab a partner.
That's all they would have did and been happy.
Yeah, that would have been amazing to me is if like Xbox just comes out and they're just playing Can't Hold Us. There's no attempt to, it's like, hey man, what are your DRM policies? Hey, DRM. We're gonna get the DRM. 1 second. What's your question over there, sir? Is the Kinect mandatory? Okay. All right. Is it always connected to the internet? Return another Mac Miller. But yeah, I could just see that they should have rode that shit to the bank
and have dancers pop up from the floor and the right. ceiling and run across the stage. That'd been greatness.
They're like, I don't.
Sounds like an episode of The Price Is Right.
Right. That's like, I think games are digital now, but I'm not sure because I was dancing so hard.
And I was watching the girl shake her ass over there. I was so confused.
Video game journalists keep going to the Xbox presentation and coming out just covered in sweat. Like,
I don't know what the hell are y'all doing in there.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know.
Yeah, I really want an Xbox and I had a good time. That's what I know. Confessions of a Steam Summer Sale Addict.
Are we talking about Wound God?
Right. That's the title of this article and it immediately made me think of Sterling.
That's why I was all like, wait, do you want my answer or something? Like, no, it's not me. I promise.
This person, says, I have a problem. In the course of 7 days, I spent $227.54 on Steam sales. Just to put some of that in perspective, we're talking about August's car payment.
Wow.
Oh my God, man. What the hell?
Yeah.
Sterling? See, my thing is, I plan this out for me personally. I like will put money to the side so when I know these sales come every quarter, I have maybe like $100, $150 to the side for these sales. You know what I mean? Like Deadpool right now is like $27. And I want it, but I'm like, no, I can use this for better stuff. But if he's just like spending his paycheck on it, I'm sorry for the guy.
So for you, it's no longer just an addiction or a habit. It's a responsibility because you set aside money like a bill.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's not an addiction though. It's just an affection for these games. And I love it. And I need them, and they need me.
We need each other.
So they said for those who are motivated by food more than bills, as I am, it's over 200 McDoubles. Mm-hmm. No one orders those, I hope. He was saying that Dirt was like $8.49, Tropical 4 is $5.99. So there's like an article floating around about the psychology behind Steam's summer sale. So, which I'm assuming that means they do this every summer. Is that, you would know, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they do it every quarter. There's one for each season.
Okay. It says like artificial scarcity because it's all digital, but they do the available for a limited time, which makes people pull the trigger more often. It's amazing, man. I didn't know that they were getting it in like this, and it would be nice if one day we could do this on a console, although I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I was saying the same thing today. Like, yesterday, Skyrim Legendary Edition, which just got announced, like, you know, Skyrim with all the DLC, was like $35.
Yeah.
And today, Deadpool, a game that just came out for $50, is $27.
Yeah.
And they're able to do it because they don't have used games, so they always get money on the back end.
Yeah.
So they can make them cheaper when they need to for maybe a couple days. We're never going to get that right now on these consoles and probably the next consoles.
Yep. The developer gets all of that $27. So it's like, you
know. Which means you're not going to be cookie cutting. Because you're going to take cookie? the cookie cut like the games we said before, how they constantly put out the same thing because they get the money. So they're, maybe I might be wrong. I think, well, you get the money to actually not have to push and pump shit out like that.
Technology is so fucking crazy. Did you guys know that J.K. Rowling had a secret novel that she was writing under another pen name?
Wow.
How did we find out? Some people put, these two professors put the text of the book through this program, which is supposed to tell you, like, who wrote something. It's almost like a fingerprint, like, oh, which words you use the most.
That's crazy.
Yes. Like, they,
is it for plagiarism?
What do you mean plagiarism, Karen?
Like, they roll it through there to see if this shit is yours or you bought, mimic somebody else's shit?
I think theirs might be a little bit more high tech, but yeah, okay. I think that might be, it might be the same principle.
Same idea, same principle, I guess. Except this doesn't just tell you, like, well, there's another report like this and it's written by Aaron Rand Freeman. This shit is like, there's no other report like this, but that writing style is Aaron Rand Freeman's style, so he wrote that for you.
Also, it can detect your style.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like, we're at that level where we just go, run the Harry Potter books through this. Okay, now put this new book in here. Yeah, she wrote that. Okay, cool.
What? Damn.
That's crazy. Like, wow. All right, so let's see what else. Oh, PlayStation 4 will support PS3 wireless headsets. I think that's huge. I think that's big. Like, if you were one of the people that went out and bought a headset for your PS3, you can keep it. You don't got to buy a new one, you know?
That'd be me. Thank you.
Yeah,
it makes sense. It's still all Bluetooth, which is something I kind of hate Xbox for not doing. It's just not putting that simple Bluetooth module in the Xbox One so I can keep using my Turtle Beaches when I go over. But it is what it is. At least Sony lucked out.
Hey, you think the Turtle Beach will have some type of adapter, Sterling, for next gen or what?
If I'm not mistaken, they were talking about, because I know there's like a high data port on the Xbox One controller, and they were saying companies, I think like Triton, Astro, and Turtle Beach was saying they're going to try to make an adapter so you can still use that with your, you know, Xbox 360 headsets.
Right.
Turtle Beach said they're not able to do it, but nobody else has yet.
Damn.
So I'm thinking, you know, Astro still might be doing something that works. Because if Astro can or Triton can, a third-party manufacturer can do it and make it, you know, usable on any headset like the Turtle Beaches.
Yeah, because pardon my language, but these beaches were too expensive to be fucking...
That's what I'm about to say. You done spent, you know, and they're worth every dime.
Yeah, yeah, I love them.
You know, then if they like the, you know, like the Ferraris of headphones.
Right.
You know, because I played that shit, and I was like, ooh, too real. I hear people stand behind me, and I throw them shits down, because I was like, I can't take this.
So you're the one that broke my original Turtle Beach.
I probably did. I may have sat on them by accident.
That makes a lot of sense now, but that was... That shit was trill, man. Like, you have like pornography in surround sound. It's like being there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember the first time I got some, and I think I played Halo, and I felt like I went to the Avatar state because I could hear where everybody was coming from. Like, I could just stand in the middle of the board and just kill things. Like, yes.
Now I know go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
Now I know Kev doesn't care about this, and I don't know how Aaron feels, but Sterling cares about this. And Chris cares about this, even though he's not here. There's a new Godzilla poster, and they're announcing that there's going to be a movie, summer 2014. And we had a huge Godzilla debate on Twitter because Sterling and Chris were trying to use Pacific Rim's greatness to say, hey, Godzilla, that, you know, let's do Godzilla now. We did Big Ass Monsters, Big Ass Robots.
It depends on who.
To which I said, and I think there's a very reasonable question to ask, is Guillermo del Toro directing it?
Yep, because that's what's going to make a difference. Because if he ain't, like you, it's a look of the draw.
To which they said, man, big ass monsters and robots and shit.
Yeah, I've seen that before, and they've been bad.
Yeah, that, like, my thing is, I don't really need del Toro directing a Godzilla movie. Because the monster's already there. You know what I mean? They can just, you know, move them from the past to this. So it's not the same as Pacific Rim where you have, you know, a whole new thought process. And new, this is all his creation. Mm-hmm. I don't really need that. I just need somebody that can direct good action. because it's Godzilla and there's going to be explosions and I need that shit.
You know what? To an extent, I have to disagree for the simple fact that we've seen it done before in the past and they have been terrible. Just because something is big and 150 inch have a big the theater screen is, does not automatically make it good. I feel like the director, whoever has to do with the action, I think all that plays a role. Because if you don't have the right person, I don't care how big and how gigantic and how cool it is, if the action's not there and the intensity isn't there and the combat and the fights are not good, to me it's not going to matter. It's going to be a bad movie that y'all spent $100 million on.
I think we can still get that without Del Toro, though, and that's what I'm saying. Because, like, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, an amazing movie. But I can't even off the top of my head think of who the director was.
Mm.
But it was still somebody that could make a great movie. I think that's all we really need for Godzilla.
I'm going to say, first of all, Aaron, you have any? Do you care about this at all? I'm just asking.
I don't trust Godzilla.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't think Godzilla was that great. Frankly, I've never enjoyed it growing up. I've never thought it was that great. I feel like we're now at the point, like I said, I feel like there's a possibility for a creative endeavor to be hamstrung by the name Godzilla. That's the thing, I'm assuming that's why I'm looking forward, to Pacific Rim, I'm gonna see it tonight, mm-hmm. is because I don't know where it's from, I don't know what this is. It's just apparently some dude, some concept that doesn't seem to be tethered to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for that, but Godzilla just seems like it may be tethered to Godzilla. And it may cause some damage to the film.
That's what bothers me, too, is I was trying to remind them that Godzilla kind of sucked when we were kids, but I was a kid, so I loved it. You know, and I think when you're a kid, you know, it's only fair to love some shit like that. It's big-ass dude in a suit. But I realized, and the reason I backed off of him, Brandon was still kind of going in, but I was like, oh, wait, y'all don't care if it's bad.
Okay,
y'all just want to see big ass Godzilla
and that's
fucking shit up,
and that's understandable.
I'm not gonna argue with you because I was the same way about Transformers. People been telling me that shit was bad for years. I'm like, yeah, but is big ass Transformers fucking shit up? And like, but it doesn't even make sense. I was like, I know
it don't got to,
but I don't care. Like it could be an F minus. It doesn't matter to me because when I walk out that theater, I have an A-plus in my heart from watching big-ass robots fuck shit up.
Yep, that's exactly how I feel. And then when I started looking into it, like, the director's only made monster movies. The writer helped write Man of Steel, Batman Begins, and Dark Knight, and Bryan Cranston's in it. So I'm set. Like, that's what I'm using. Those are my bullet points for my agenda. I need this shit next year.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, like, even with you saying those things, those all seem like things you don't need for a good Godzilla film. Like, that's how funny it is.
Yep.
It's like, you don't even need that shit. Not good. You know what I mean? For a true to form Godzilla film, all I really need to know is, did you have the CGI button to make a big ass monster fuck shit up?
Cause I'm really cool with it being like a sci-fi movie, like a sci-fi channel movie, just one step above. So it looks better than that. And I'm cool with it, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's going, I need all this. It's going to be greatness and I'm going to love it.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you, dog. I don't care. As long as they don't wait 2 hours to show me a fucking Godzilla like that last movie. Jesus Christ.
That was terrible.
Oh, it was like, but isn't, who started that? Was it Matthew Broderick or John Cusack? Somebody like that? One of those motherfuckers?
I remember Diddy had a song on the soundtrack or some shit.
You mean Jimmy Page? I remember he performed it on Saturday Night Live and had a conniption fit performing that Godzilla song on live on Saturday Night Live. He was sweating and tearing off his tie and freaking out, talking about come with me and rolling all over the stage. Having a fit. Look that up on YouTube. He had a fit singing that song.
Trying to sell us that terrible movie.
Yes.
That's so bad.
It's like, don't you care about Matthew Broderick? No. I don't care at all. Or John Cusack or whoever played that role. Whichever one of you dark-eyed, soulful dudes played that role, it didn't matter. The Flash and Justice League are rumored to be coming out for DC in 2016-2017 after a 2015 Batman-Superman team-up film, likely called World's Finest. No word on who will play Batman, although Henry Cavill will play Superman. It will be directed by Zack Snyder. The assumption is that Christian Bale would not reprise his role Batman. So that'll be a fresh start, hopefully. And I'm not gonna lie, looking forward to it.
Me too.
I actually enjoyed Superman. I know the thing after now is like, what about the destruction and all this shit? I don't care. Mm-hmm. You guys all got 5 other Superman movies that were very emotionally tugging at the heart.
Go back and rewatch those.
I need my Super Saiyan Superman.
I don't understand why people beefing. Literally, he spent the entire movie having an emotional issue. The whole movie was him dealing with being perfect.
Yep.
And finding his place on Earth. And when the time came, he saved Earth.
Right.
Did he destroy Earth? Yes, but I think the idea of Superman as the destroyer is actually, Superman as the destroyer, as a smug destroyer, is an interesting play if they write Batman right.
Yeah.
It creates a window for both Batman and Lex Luthor, which only makes for better movies down the road. So,
they actually added more to the character with him not having a understanding of what that fight was going to be.
Yep.
Then if he actually was just completely veteran Superman, you know, let's take this out into the field of Nebraska and then fight. Which, by the way, this is going to sound fucked up, man. And I know Aaron's from New York, but could New York centric people drop that shit? Like, what? The people that live in the middle of nowhere matter too. You know, because people are like, just fly out to Oklahoma and fight them. It's like, man, fuck you. No.
Them people matter too.
I could have sworn, didn't they start fighting near Superman's house and they destroyed some small town with relative ease? I was thinking, that was like, and people, I was like, I understand I'm from New York, but this is not preferable. Somebody threw a car into a diner.
Yeah.
There were people eating there. They're still humans.
Batman flew into an IHOP and shit. Like,
yes.
Nobody gave a fuck about those people because they were like,
you know, Sunrise special.
The what can Sunrise special?
Yeah, they were eating their Sunrise special with their grits and coffee.
Yeah, people collectively barely gave a fuck about them because, like, you know, Metropolis / quote unquote New York, Los Angeles, whatever you want to call it, is like a beacon of, it means something more as symbolically.
Understand. I just want you to understand that just personally. That was when I began to be mortified by the film. When they were in that IHOP and I was like, there were people moving around in there in the frame before this happened. What happened to those people?
You know,
we crushed a child.
Mortified. I was on it. I was like, all right, something's wrong.
I wonder, what in my mind, like, what would have been funny is like the nerd version. Cause there's always like, after every comic book movie, you know, nerds like revise, like, they should have done this. They should have done that. But I wonder what the nerd version of Superman, the reboot, looks like. Because I wonder if he's going to be like, guys, I know you're evil Kryptonians that want to take over the Earth and kill all the humans. But do we really need to start with this town? Can't we go fight somewhere secluded where no one will get hurt? And then them just going, man, fuck you. Like, I don't care. I don't think you understand. I don't care about humanity. I will throw you through 7 buildings and there's not shit you can do about it other than kill me.
This type of Superman literally leaves the door open for so many other characters in the Justice League. I think emotionally perfect Superman is terrible for the Justice League. Yeah. Every other Justice League character fits around Superman better if he's willing to flatten a city to beat a dude in a fist fight. I think that type of Superman, that type of smug Superman, I think it's a better character for what they're trying to do. I'll argue that to death. I'm sorry.
I can't wait to see how the interaction between him and Batman would be because it's kind of gonna be like in Avengers when Tony Stark is talking shit to Captain America, and you have that moment where you're like, oh yeah, you are just kind of a dude in a suit. And this dude knows way more about fighting than you. Where do you get the right? And I would love to see, like, a Batman give a Superman a, where the fuck do you get off speech? Yep. You know what I mean? That would be awesome.
I want that to be a serious part of the movie, that Batman is the only person crazy enough to look Superman in the eye and go, you know 9 million people died when you fought Zod, right?
Right.
And look him right in the eye. Superman's hovering over him with his arms folded on. Superman has to stand down because that shit is right.
Yes. Yes.
I'm Batman. Nobody dies when I do anything.
Yes. I would love to see that.
Superman, everyone died when you did one thing.
Yeah. I'd love to see a Lex Luthor come to power by being like this dude fucked up everything. Does anybody notice? You know, like, almost the Superman getting the Spider-Man treatment, you know, where it's just like, you know, slandering him in the media, like really going after this guy and using that to bring himself to power and his own momentum. Cause
that should be the very first scene of the next Superman movie, is a shot of Lex Luthor's office toppling over and falling to the ground where barely anybody survives, including Luthor.
Yeah.
And he just wakes up in a hospital bed and he looks and he's, what did this?
Yes. Yes. Speaking of sequels, I know this is a little bit of a controversial sequel, but I enjoyed it tremendously, but a lot of people did not like this movie. Amazing Spider-Man 2 got announced this week, as far as they showed some trailer footage. They interviewed Andrew Garfield, who did several interviews. One of them was like, and I haven't found it yet, so take this with a note of caution. I just heard another podcast talking about it, but they were saying he was saying stuff about Spider-Man could be bisexual, and like Michael B. Jordan could play like his love interest in a movie or something. And I just took it as Andrew Garfield completely fucking with nerds, because he got to watch his back saying stuff like that, because nerds don't, they didn't even like the idea of a black person playing Spider-Man. Can you imagine bisexual interracial relationship Spider-Man?
Oh man. I wouldn't even go see the movie. I would just go to opening night at 2 in the morning and just sit there looking at people walk out of the theater. Hey, what are you doing? How you doing? What's going on? How'd you like the movie? What are you doing?
Yeah. Huh? I feel like
with torches and shit.
I feel like nerds coming out of that film would be the Fox News comment section in real life. It would just be like real life Fox News comment section. But he was talking, they were saying like they're actually, Sony announced a fourth Spider-Man movie, even though he's only signed for three. By the time the fourth one came out, he'd probably be like 35 years old. He seems like I'm not 100% on board with the idea of being a 35-year-old Spider-Man, which I think is valid.
Why don't they just stack the movies like they should have done with Harry Potter?
Film two,
one right after the other. Everyone gets paid, and we just drop it 2 years after the fact. Keep your face young.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. He basically was not sure what was gonna happen with that. But I'm excited for Amazing Spider-Man 2, man. I haven't seen that trailer yet, so I'll watch it soon, but. You know, they had me at Spider-Man, dude. I'm not even gonna front like I'm some type of sophisticated dude. Twitter creator, who no longer does Twitter anymore. He created it and he moved on to a super secret project. He said Facebook needs to start charging $10 a month, if they want to stay in business and make money.
Huh. Okay.
How many of y'all would pay $10 a month to stay on Facebook?
No. Yeah.
No, I'm good.
No. Right. I went for Twitter, but not Facebook.
Also, if they charge us, wouldn't someone just literally step in and just make something else?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well.
And they said
MySpace.
What they will basically do is put ads on your shit, and then say, well, $10, you can get rid of all these ads, but we're gonna
ads broke down my timeline anyway.
Yeah, how much money do they think they can make off of social media? Cause I'm not sure that there's hey, everyone pay $10.
Unless you gotta give people something.
Unless you're advertising the fact that people can have sex with each other. That's pretty much the only thing someone's going to pay a membership to, is like, I'm going on a date because of this site. I'll pay $20. But
isn't Facebook worth billions of dollars?
It's worth billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But hasn't it made the people that are responsible for making Facebook a lot of money anyway?
Oh, they're already rich. They sold it and they're rich.
So what do they want then? It's supposed to make money in the day-to-day operation like McDonald's?
Facebook premium, $10 a month. People who really love Facebook and can afford it could see no ads, maybe some special features too. If 10% of Facebook signed up, that's $1 billion a month in revenue. Not too shabby. I just think he has to lower his number from 10%, but I understand Facebook premium. although in this instance, it's almost like you're taking something away and not giving people something.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, you gotta give people something.
Which is always a bad, like, thing when it's like, hey, remember how Facebook used to be ad free and kind of easy? Yeah, not anymore. And, you want your old Facebook back? $10, bitch. Like, that's how it feels when someone is like, oh, but I love the way that Facebook navigates and I was able to do such and such. Yeah, give me $10 a month and you can have it back.
It's like, they wouldn't have nothing but premium subscribers. Like, that's all you would have is to be that 10%.
And you won't have them long because the premium people are there for the free people. So, I don't know. Tumblr actually had some issues. There was an outcry over censorship because they took all their adult themed tumblers and made them unsearchable.
Yes, and the biggest reason why I know this because y'all my booty pics that I post.
No, it's and on top of that, Tumblr.
And on top of that, it's my Tumblr. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my booty pics and all that stuff I wrote, them people were posting this and they were upset because what it is like they didn't restrict them. If they post and you follow them, you will see the post. But new people can't Google them and find them. And I think, if like a third party clicks on it to go through that, it'll take them to like, it'll reroute them around. And like, if you Google like certain people, you get like a no response.
Yeah.
Like they don't even exist on Tumblr.
Yep. So, I just thought it was interesting because the thing I will remind everybody, you don't own any of that shit.
No,
so
you don't.
Unfortunately, they can fucking say, I don't want you to do this anymore. And ain't shit you can do about it. So, also paid apps are on the decline. 90% of iOS apps are free. Up from 80 to 84% did 2010, 2012. I'm not really surprised by this. A lot more apps have ads in them now too.
Yes, they do. And I ignore them and keep it pushing.
Yep. So more people are getting them now. And it's like I downloaded a Words with Friend free version and it's just, ad between every time you play. So it makes sense. Like freemium is the way to go with these things and you're getting the ad revenue or you're getting the money from someone buying your app. Makes sense. I don't know. Wasn't that controversial to me. One thing that was cool was Apple is trying to, they got a patent where you can now have, they will now add a fingerprint sensor to your phone.
Yeah.
That's dope as fuck.
How would it work?
You put your finger on it and it like unlocks your phone.
Oh, okay.
It'd be faster than just swiping the damn combination.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know. I know what you mean. It better recognize your fingerprint faster than typing in, you know, that four digits. That makes perfect sense.
This password's goddamn 1119. You better be faster than 1119.
Right. That actually makes perfect sense. I didn't even think about this. Would suck if it's like, let me unlock my phone. Hold on.
Keep
one
your
second.
Screen clear and cleaned in.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to turn it to the side. One second. Okay. Give me, not enough light in here. I'll be right back, guys. Like, yeah, you're right.
Wait a minute. My fingers are greasy. Hold on. It's not reading right.
I didn't even think about that. It's kind of like that first Kinect where it's like, look at what it does. It's like, it doesn't do any shit, but it could one day. Like, oh man. More iOS news. Apple Store app will offer free iTunes and App Store content, reportedly. So Apple is trying to promote more of their own, you know, buying digital stuff from them. So I guess the new App Store coming out with, I think the iOS 7 is going to have more like, hey, you can get this free now, free music, free TV shows and shit. I still don't think people are going to buy anything, but.
Oh no.
Okay. And this was a great story. Did you guys hear about the iPhone related death in China?
What?
A lady took a phone call and was electrocuted and died.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they now believe it's linked to a third party USB charger.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may have had fewer safety measures built into the hardware. I believe she was wet because she was like getting out of the tub to answer her phone. Cause someone was like, you got a call. And while it was still plugged into the charger, so while she was on the phone talking, she got electrocuted to death. So.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mentally prepared for that story.
And I have a question.
Yes.
Maybe it's just me. All this technology and all this, when we going for the future, why haven't nobody ever come with a waterproof telephone?
They did.
I think they have them.
Yeah, the Samsung Galaxy H4, you can get the active edition.
No, I'm talking about like a standard telephone. When you make your telephone, it should be a requirement that shit is waterproof. Because as many people drop and spill and kick and they children drop their phones in cereal and shit like that, I think phones ought to be waterproof. Maybe that's just the way my mind thinks.
Nah, you know what? That's valid.
That makes sense, but then they couldn't charge you for another one when you get dropped that one in the water.
You're right.
That's true.
You're right. It's like making an iPhone earbud that never breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, that's true. Because I've always wondered, like, why don't you have something that coats or across, or either people will pay. Like, we'll give you the regular one, but here's a cover to make it waterproof or some shit.
Yeah, it's like, I already got your money, sucker.
I have a question. If you're Apple, and you have an employee who's dead set on generating this screen material that will never ever crack. You can rub it on cement for a city block. Invincible. But that doesn't help your bottom line. It's terrible. Do you have him killed or do you just give him a lot of money? Because you can have both done and it doesn't bother you one way or the other. It won't really affect your company if he's gone or if you pay him. So what do you think Apple does? Do you think that these employees, you know, like maybe like two employees in the past decade that found some new shit, like a battery that lasts 7 days after one charge.
Of course.
And they want it out and they just don't. And what do you think they do?
I feel like they kill them.
Right there in the spot on the meeting.
Yeah, I feel like they're not American, so they don't have the same workers' rights anyway. So whoever comes up with that shit, they're just like, oh, okay, meet me in the other conference room, Sing Chong, and we'll talk about this real quick, and they just roll over there and kill them.
Or do you think they have, like, the method with most villains where you press a button and, like, that person's chair falls?
Yeah, yeah,
and
I assume there's
to a pit.
I assumed trapdoor technology was involved.
Okay.
So it's just like, yes, yeah. Ling, meet me in the other office, and when you walk in, they just go, how much do you make here? And it's like 35 cents a month. Yeah.
They have an episode of Fringe where there was a computer program that when you looked at it, it would make your brain melt, but it appeared to be a seizure. Right. So all you got to do is send somebody a business email. It's like, hey, Xing Tong, you want to take a look at these schematics? And all of a sudden, blah, 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 and then they're fucking out.
Right.
And then that's the end of it. And they've been looking at the screen too long, so they had something wrong with their brain. Mm-hmm. Shame they had to look at the computer all day. Oh, well.
Yep. We had there was something I saw where, there was a video game developer or something that made like this pretty dope game or he made something and it was like right after E3 or something and he died in like a car accident. And I just remember being like, I wonder if he was working on like something with like Sony or Xbox or something. Like just part of me was like, cause it would be easier to kill that dude if he was like, you know, I'm working on this other console that's way better than that shit and costs way less. Like, just kill him. Like, car accident. Make it look like a car accident. And, like, Agent 47 just shows up at his house.
Ah!
You know, Agent 47 is going to be dressed like the pizza dude with his fucking neck all out, that barcode.
Yeah.
No people tell the difference. Worst. The pizza guy was here. I don't know what he looked like at all. I don't even remember. He was so nondescript, but I guess
Agent 47 by far had the worst for an assassin. That barcode to neck tattoo has to be like the worst tale ever. Like it really seems like they would have put that somewhere else on an assassin if someone that trains assassins from birth wanted to make them, you know, able to blend in with everybody. You don't go with the neck tat.
You know,
it would make some sense.
I wonder if they would try to take it and scan it at the grocery store to see how much they're worth.
Death? Does death have a price? It just signs up. It just goes to all zeros and does the flatline sound like the hospital. Like everybody else is like, boop, boop. You hit Agent 47. It's just like, beep. This has been another episode of the Nerd Off, guys. Thank you so much. Don't go see RIPD. We will talk to you. I'm not even wasting the time to review it.
Okay.
We will talk to you guys on next week. So thank you so much for joining us. Peace.